says. It says on there. All right, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to have a brief review because somebody screwed up and didn't turn the recorder on yesterday. I won't mention any names, except it was me. All right. Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. He's saying he would give up his life for them. The word souls is, and we talked about the many places where Paul said he would give up his salvation for the Jews, and Job said, throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Then in verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, or laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We talked yesterday about how not be chargeable. There were no paid clergy for the first couple hundred years. All of the people worked in order to support themselves. There were no buildings, so there was no maintenance, so there wasn't much expense except to meet the needs of the people, the poor around them. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. We talked about holily and justly and unblameably. Holily just means the salt in the salt shaker. The salt shaker is used for its right purpose. And that's enough for that one. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And the word kingdom and glory, kingdom is an interesting word. It's basileia in Greek. And it literally means the kingdom is that which is under the authority of the king. And we're going to see in a minute that he's talking, he makes a difference between, he calls them churches in Christ. And as we've said before, in Christ is, it's used over 200 times in the Bible. And it's a location of sphere. It means, it's just if a fish is in water, so that's its location of sphere. A root is in the earth, so that's its location of sphere, you know, on and on and on. Stars are in the sky, so that's their location of sphere. For believers, our location of sphere is in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not a believer. So he is over the kingdom. The word kingdom is basileia, that which is under the authority of the king. The only place that's under the authority in this age of the king is the in Christ position. The rest of the whole of time and space is under the authority given to him by God of the evil one, of Satan. So let's look at that a minute. Let's go to Luke 4. This is the temptation of Christ. Verse 5, And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And what that means in the Greek language, it showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, and then he goes on to say, if thou wilt worship me, all this shall be thine. I mean, this is big because it defines our realm under which Christ is the authority and the kingdom. The kingdom of God is eternal, eternity. The kingdom of the evil one, of Satan, of the dragon, of whatever you want to call him, is the natural world in time and space. And he said, all this has, and the power thereof has been delivered over to me. That's what Satan said. And Jesus didn't say, no, that's not right. And this is critical in your understanding of the kingdom of God and why it's so important that you don't have opinions or stands about what's going on in the world, in the natural world, because that's not where we live. That's not our kingdom. We're under the authority of the king in his area of influence. And that area of influence for his sole authority is in Christ, on the mercy seat, in eternity. And so the moment you concern yourself with what's going on in time and space, the moment you take a stand, whether it's political or any other stand, that means that you've got your foot in two worlds, and you, by definition, will be lukewarm. Anybody want to argue? I want somebody to argue with me about that. So everybody understands what that means about your little opinions about what's right and wrong in time and space, or taking a stand. Okay, John? All right. And we talked about, we'll go back to Thessalonians. I lost Thessalonians for a minute. There it is. That we should walk worthy of God who hath called us into his kingdom and glory. Walk is mean, it's a Greek word which means how you conduct your life. Worthy is axios, and it means in a manner that's of the kingdom. How can I describe this? This isn't a how-to or what to do. This is a what is. Again, the Bible doesn't have, it's not a moral book, it's not a book, it is, but that people use it for everything. It's not a history book, it's not a science book. It's a book about two kingdoms. A kingdom that's of time and space, which is the kingdom that's given over to Satan, and the kingdom of God, which is in Christ on the mercy seat in eternity. And the only question is, which kingdom are you in? You can say all you want. You can, I believe, I'm blah, blah, blah. You can have any kind of an outward appearance. But the point of it is if you're in him, you won't have any opinions about all this stuff. You won't have any stands. Because, and again, that may not happen instantly, but that's the fruit of it. All right. Let's go to Acts 60. No, not X. Isaiah 60. I'm sorry. What am I? There's no Acts 60.
Say again.
Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So again, this is what we just talked about. Arise, shine, for his light is come upon thee if you are in him, on the mercy seat in eternity. You're at the first source of all things, so you have no care. You're content with anything. Everything is exactly as it should be. There's no worries about what you're going to say or not say. You just be, because you're in him. Or you're in darkness. There's no in between. What's going on? There's something like a. There's a. Something's not going. Are you okay, Jeff? What's going on? There's something that you're not. You keep going in and out. Can you get back in and stay in? All right. Let's go to Acts 22. Starting in verse 9. Paul is seized by the Jews, and now he's put under arrest. Remember, and the Romans protected him. And now he's giving his defense. And now in verse 6, and it says, well, let's start in verse 5. As also the high priest doth bear witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them that were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He's talking about going to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee all things which were appointed for thee to do. And the point of it is, just as Moses, when he went up to the mountain, to the world standpoint, he was gone 40 days and 40 nights. But he was privileged to go into eternity. And there's no need to eat or drink or anything. You understand? And when he came down, his face shone, so they had to put a veil over his head. Now, this is what's available to all of us by this intense repentance. Paul's intense repentance came because of that experience he had with Stephen, where he was more than likely the one that argued against Stephen's defense before the Sanhedrin. And because he was, then when they stoned him, he was honored because they gave him Stephen's clothes to hold while they stoned Stephen. And then Stephen had this, you know, the light came upon him and he saw and he knew. And it totally, that was the beginning of the end for Paul. And as he then was going, you can imagine him, what have I done? What's going on here? And there was a break in his defenses. And he saw and he began to question, and I'm sure that he said something like, God, I want to know the truth no matter what it costs. And that repentance caused the light, which is always here. It's just like when the tongues of fire came upon the 120 in the temple on the day of Pentecost, it was this time ripped above each one of the 120, so there was a glimpse of eternity. It was the appearance of fire, but it wasn't fire. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, but there was no wind. And that light, that mystery of when time rips and eternity sets on you, is what Isaiah was talking about and what he saw, what Moses saw, what Abraham saw, and here what Paul saw. And it comes from the depth of repentance. Going down to the secret chambers of your life so you're totally and completely naked and empty before the living God. Everybody get a glimpse of this? Understand me? What? Well, it's here. All right. Let's go back to Thessalonians. Now, in my conversion experience, I had a mini version of this. I mean, I was gone, according to my friend that I was sitting with, about an hour and a half. But where I was, from my standpoint, I could have been gone 1,000 years. And I saw this light that had no source, and it was awesome. It was unbelievable. And it's been the predicate of everything since then. For me, it's been the base, the Al-Qaeda, if you will. Well, that's what the base means, and that's what Al-Qaeda means, is the base. Am I going too fast, or is there any understanding of what I'm talking about? It's available to every believer. The only thing it requires is the certainty that all human effort, including your own, is empty and vain and fruitless. Did you fall in love with it or something back there?
It was beautiful.
All right. Verse 13. That we should walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, the reason people hear is not the moment you are trying to learn something, then you will never hear. It won't happen. The only thing that happens is the anointing that each of you have received, you have need that no one teach you. The fullness of that mystery of God is already resident within you. And all you need to hear is some the words that agree or spark that witness that's already within you. Then that's what creates this. The fruit of that is really total repentance. If you can hear something that you've already known, but you couldn't even verbalize, and then boom, that all of a sudden that explodes within you. And again, that's why we're named Trinity Foundation, because it explodes in you like an atomic bomb. And it vaporizes all your value systems. All the things that you think are right and wrong. All the things that you've learned. Of course, they all try to come back right away. But so this is why this is so important. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. Wait a minute. 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is a truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh. In you that believe. Effectually worketh is energeo. And it's used in all of the normal Greek language, the standard Greek language. It's used only of some supernatural thing, where there was some supernatural energy or something. But spiritually, it means that it's guaranteed results if you will but empty yourself. It's assured. It's there's no way. And then it says to you which believe, and in this word believe is pisteo, which means a conviction which results in total and complete trust. But if you haven't tested that for you, then these are just words that'll bounce off you and you'll forget. And the only way you test it is if you come to a point where you don't lean on your own arm of understanding for what you're going to do next or what you're going to eat next. It's a totally different experience. So again, for you brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, the reason it says the churches which are in Christ Jesus is because of the word. The ecclesia, every synagogue in anywhere in the world, but especially in Judea, they would have the synagogue would have been called a church of God, because it was the place of the assembly. So any assembled that are in any kind of religion, they could have been whatever they were, they would be called whatever their assembly would be called of God, a church. So he had to distinguish a church that it's this church is in Christ. Okay? As I said earlier, the in Christ or something similar is used in the New Testament over 200 times. It describes the sphere in which a believer lives, or anything lives, birds and air, fish and water. Therefore, in Christ is on the mercy seat in eternity. It's a position. It's not a belief system. Not when you use faith as a noun. Then it goes on, we're still in verse 14. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, let's just go to Acts 17 and see. We know how the Jews persecuted the church in Judea. And this, we've read this before, but we forget. So Acts 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ, it doesn't allege, should be proving, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, or is Messiah. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also, whom Jason has received. And these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, There is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. Well, we've read that before. But this is typical to what happens when Paul is preaching throughout his missionary trips. They suffer from the Jews. And anyway, go back to Thessalonians. No, let's not. I'm going to quit there because it's a whole other world when we get to verse 15. All right, anybody have any response to anything? Ms. Josanna Rosanna? All righty, take it, big guy.